Amen. It is so good to see each of you tonight and thankful that you're here. Seems like there's just a good spirit. That singing was just absolutely beautiful. Amen. I tell you, I appreciate that and thinking about what heaven's going to be like and the reunion it's going to be. All of heaven's going to be there. Not one will be missing. Not one will be missing over there. You can't be plucked out of Jesus' hand and we and the Father, we can't be plucked out of His hand. We're secure. We're secure when we're with Him, and I'm thankful for that. And if you're like me, you probably stayed up late last night, but hopefully we'll sleep better tonight, maybe, Lord willing. Just very, very thankful. You never know sometimes, obviously, how things go, but I will say this. It's definitely a time of need to continue to pray. I mean, you can say, I'm thankful for some things and how some things turned out, but you know, the fight is still on, if you want to just be honest about it. Locally, all the way up, there's going to be things that we're going to face and deal with, and some changes and different things like that, but always, we got to keep our nation in our prayers and our local county officials and what have you, because just have feelings, just the fight's going to intensify as we go on, and that's not being negative, that's just being honest, and I think that's the way we need to be. But I'm really excited about the lesson tonight. I've been really looking forward to this. And the Lord laid it on my heart in my weekly, or I guess you'd say annual Bible study or Bible reading. And the Lord just kind of laid it on my heart earlier this week and just really been focusing on it. So if you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter number 13. We'll look at verses 31 and 32. There's a lot more in here than I can bring out. And I'll go ahead and admit that. And I do want to take the time here to say how much I appreciated the message on Sunday. Preach Bill, that done my heart a lot of good. And just good where the rubber meets the road preaching, and that's where it's at. I think there's a lot of knowledge, but a lot of times not a lot of surrendering and doing what the Word of God says. And that's where the power lies in our lives. That's where it's at. When you surrender to it, you can read the recipe on the back of the box all day long, but until you put the ingredients together, it's not going to be what you want it to be. You can say, I know what I need, but until you actually put it to use, it doesn't become alive. And I tell you, that's the power that we have in the Word of God and the power that we have through the Holy Spirit. And I am so thankful for that tonight, that a day can be anew, your life can be anew, and it doesn't have to be the same old dreary drudge or what have you. Regardless what happens on the political scene or on the governmental scene, we still have hope in Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. He's on the throne of my eternal home, and I'm just so thankful for that. We'll read these two verses here, and we'll pray. We'll get into this tonight. Just really excited about this, and it's about the mustard seed. A lot of times, I asked Brandy, I said, when you hear mustard seed, what do you think about? She said, faith. I said, that's right, but that's not what this message in total is about tonight. It's a different parable that Jesus used for this, and based on the size of the seed is what it's being compared to, or used, the analogy that's being used here. And I love how the Bible has many different parables and analogies, and the more we study about whatever that topic is tonight, the mustard seed, whatever that topic is, the more we can learn and grow and get the blessing of what is being said, whether it be Jesus or another person in the Bible. But it says here, and this is Jesus speaking, but it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, what it means to me, what it means to us. God, each believer, that's the power to become the Son of God. Lord, if we'll believe it, to everyone who believeth, God. And I just thank you for that, the ability to believe. The power, God, that you've given to us, the measure of faith, God, that you've given to me, to us. God, I thank you for that. And I just pray that it would grow stronger, that our ability to believe would grow stronger as we put more confidence and more faith in you, as we grow closer to you, Lord. And as we meet on Wednesday nights to study, I'm thankful for each one that's faithful to come, God. And I just pray always That these midweek services be a special blessing to each one, God, that it give us that little bit of extra energy that we need to move forward, God. And I just thank you for this time together. I'm so thankful for my church, God, that you placed us here together. God, I just pray that you really speak to hearts tonight, God, speak to our minds, our hearts. Help us to see things in a way we've not seen it before, but the way you would have us to see it, God. We understand that the power and the authority is in you, and it's lived out, God, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, just how that empowers our soul. It encourages us, and it helps us through hard times and a blessing during the good times, God, and I just thank you so much for that. I pray for our church, our community still, Lord, as it heals and tries to recover and works to recover from the storm and everything going on. I know there's so much work that's still to be done, God, and I just pray that you help each one as they're going through that, and those in our church, God, with the different needs they have, sicknesses, and whatever a need that it may be, God, things that I don't know anything about, Lord, but you do, and God, we entrust that to you. God, just thank you so much, Lord, for answered prayers, and God, we pray for our nation, pray for our new leaders, God, that will be taking office soon. God, we just pray for your protection around them, God, that you keep a hedge around them, God, and that you would guide their hearts, protect their minds, and guide their hearts, God, to follow your will and what you would have them to do, not that they would just take an oath, Lord, not seriously, God, but let it be what you would have it to be, and help our nation to heal and be, God, what you would have it to be. A turning back to you, God, is my prayer. I know that this world is waxing worse and worse, but to every believer that has the option, the choice, God, to choose you, they can, and they can choose to live that life that's most beneficial, Lord, to them and to you, to the church. And God, I just pray for that help. God, again, keep a hedge around our church. God, I pray, Lord, that you convict the lost people from week to week that attend with us, that listen in on Facebook and different places. God, we just pray that you be with them and convict them, Lord. Go with us tonight, God, my heart, my mind, Lord, and just help me to say everything the way you'd have me to, Lord, just the way you gave it to me. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is one of the Kingdom of Heaven parables. There's several of those that you see here in the book of Matthew. And again, the Matthew is a type of the Jewish person. It talks about the kingdom or the king. And you see the genealogy that it starts out with. So knowing who the author is gives us a lot about who is being talked to and what's being discussed. And so that's kind of how these parables are, the way that you see it this way. And so we're seeing the mustard seed, and the Lord is giving out different analogies to people so they can better understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, there were some that was wanting to sit on the left hand and the right hand and wanted to share within the power that Jesus had in the kingdom. They thought the kingdom was coming right then, and they really just like, hey, you're taking office, and I want to be your right-hand man. I want to be right there with you. And I want to serve with you. And that's kind of how it was. And Jesus was explaining to them what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's something for us to behold and understand. And I think you see a little bit here about the church. You think about the kingdom of heaven. It's what we have here on this earth. You have the kingdom of heaven. You have the kingdom of God. You also see the parallels of this in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter number 13 also. It talks about it. I believe over there it even refers to it as the kingdom of God. But tonight, we're talking about this parable here in Matthew 13 about the kingdom of heaven. But tonight, I want to give you the title because it was the last part that comes to this. But it's a very important part. If you're not careful, you'll go right by it and not see it. But it's the birds and the branches. The birds that are in the branches. That's what I want us to focus on here tonight. When you see the mustard seed and what have you and how it's laid out here and what's given, we understand. You think about if you have just the faith as a mustard seed, preacher Kenny, I don't know if I've got it in my Bible, maybe I've got it in my Bible case, but he's preaching a message sometime back at a revival that I was with, there with him, and he gave us all a little mustard seed. I keep it in my Bible. That's a tiny thing. Had he not put it in a Ziploc bag, I wouldn't have had it. I'd have lost it. I mean, it's tiny. It's minute. You just see how small it is, and you understand how fragile it is, how little it is, and how vulnerable that it really is. And the Bible talks about that and compares it to faith, but tonight it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, how the kingdom of heaven starts. You know, it starts with just one. You have the first fruits, Jesus Christ, and then after that, whosoever believeth can be a part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's our choice. But you know, you look at your life today, and I thought about it like this. My life, you see everything that's going on across the world, and people want to get their voice out. They want to be heard. And this time of the year with elections, everything, you think about, is this vote, is this my little part, is that actually going to mean anything? Or is it going to be drowned out by the sound or drowned out by somebody else? But you know, you take all those little things together, you put them together, it can amount to something large. See, what we're talking about here is how the church, the inception of the church, and what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's what Jesus is explaining. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. So if you start out there, you see a very small inception. You see a very small thing. You think about the kingdom of heaven, and you read in the book of Revelation how large it's going to be, thousands upon thousands. So there's going to be a lot there. Heaven is going to be full of people, thousands upon thousands. So you think, well, how does it get that large? It starts with one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. You can see how fragile in some ways it would be that the kingdom of heaven is framed upon, but you look upon that, and again, we've seen the mustard seed compared to faith, but also just us as individuals. I can see that here tonight also. It is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. So I wanted to look it up a little bit and kind of see, because you probably had mustard before, and I know you take that, and it's got kind of a strong taste to it, really. Some of these herbs and things, it doesn't take much of it that you can have just a little dabble, do you? And it's kind of strong, but what I see when looking up about the mustard seed, it has a pungent taste, and it's a powerful stimulant. It's something, if you taste it, you probably wouldn't forget it. You'd be like, that has a taste to it. It wasn't bland. It's not a bland thing. It's not something dry or something that's bland. It's something that actually has a lot of flavor to it. And also, it's a stimulant. And a stimulant is a medicine that excites or increases action. Isn't that good? Brother Allen, I like that. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is compared to. That's what it's like. I like action. I like movement. I like seeing things take place and things move around. I like that. And there's different parts that take place here. So you see, in and of itself, it's just a small thing. But in and of itself, the attributes that it has is it's powerful and it's a stimulant. It's a medicine and it increases action. And that's exactly what you and I are supposed to be like. Would you not agree with that? Anybody here say, no, I don't think I'm supposed to be like that. I tell you, if you can really start talking to somebody about what the Lord has done for you, it should be a stimulating thing. Not only for you, but for somebody else. For the listener, the hearer, the one that's actually hearing it. But you see, what you have is taking place. You have that one little seed, but it grows and it grows and it grows. And that's the beautiful thing about it. It's a wonderful thing. It's the way it's supposed to be, which a man took and he sowed in his field. You see, when you start looking at what you want and when you're trying to grow a garden, you take that little seed and you toss it to the ground. The idea is that more will come out than what you put in, right? Jesus Christ, the first fruit, he's the one that went in first, but he expects more to come out. Us, the church, he expects believers to come out of what he did. That's why he gave us his word, so we would have something that we could follow, that we could trust, that we could believe in. But you take your seed, you take the seed, the ideas, you take that, and you scatter it around. Seed is sown with the expectation of growth. We want more back in return. When we start talking about the gospel or spreading the gospel to people, the idea is that they will accept it, take it, and grow from it. Beautiful thing in talking to our young people. When I get to do that and explain things to them or talk about church with them, we've been here lately at work. There's been some freedom to do that, questions asked and things, and I like that. It's a very interesting thing to me. It's an exciting thing to me when I find people that want to learn. Sometimes people know everything and you can't teach them anything, but some people want to learn, and you get around God's word and you talk about it. See, that's what happens when you start sowing. You're sowing it. You're scattering it. You're putting it out there so people can hear it. It's not the best kept secret. We're supposed to get it out there. Not supposed to hide it. We're supposed to get it out there. See, that's how it works. If you had all your seeds, however big or small or large, if you kept them all in your packets,
and you kept them in your drawer at home, you're not going to have any garden, are you? Nothing. But you have what you need maybe at the house, but it's not where it needs to be. It's not being sown. It's not being out in the ground. It's not being put out where it can be scattered and where it can grow. But you think about that, how vulnerable that is. You put it out there. You can put the fertilizer out there. You can try to keep the weeds out the best you can. And you can even try to put water on there. But you know what? You can't make it grow. Isn't that something? You can do things to help it, but you can't make it grow. It's an amazing thing. See, if you think about the power of the Holy Ghost in our life, this is a beautiful analogy. It just lays it out there like it is. Something has to happen for that to grow. You know, God is what causes that to grow. Amen. If you have a good garden, it's because the Lord allowed it to be so. When that little seed goes down the ground and you're not in there watching it and everything, you're not putting it to bed every night, you're not waking it up every morning, God is. God is. That's how it works. You know, you and I, we fall asleep, we don't know what's going on, but you know, God does. He puts us to bed at night, He wakes us up in the morning, He takes care of us, He protects us. He gives us the vitamins we need. He waters us. He takes care of us. You see how vulnerable that little seed is. You and I are pretty vulnerable too. Think about God sitting on His throne. You think about Jesus at the right hand of the throne. And He's looking down at us, wanting to see us grow. He's wanting to help us grow. But you know what you and I have? We have a choice. That little seed does what nature, God, tells it to do. You and I, we have that nature of our own. That humanistic, fleshly nature. Brother Bill was preaching on Sunday. You know, we have that to contend with. So you do have some choice in what you do. But if you want to grow, there's a few things that it takes here. And I tell you, it's something to look at. Verse number 32, it says, which indeed is the least of all seeds. It's the smallest. That's how I feel sometimes. You look at life and you see how time passes by so quickly and you think about, my goodness, the Lord is going to come back or I'm going to pass and this life is a vapor. Just going through again this Josh and Sarah's wedding, and just it's almost just like I feel like Brandy and I just got through ours. How in the world could they be going through their wedding? It just doesn't seem possible. Time goes by so fast. I look back a lot of times and think, man, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. But moving forward, I don't want to waste any time. I want to make the most out of this time. But there's this growing season that you see that takes place. Which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown. Again, making a parallel to the church. After that seed is into the ground, and if it's nurtured, if it's taken care of, and it's fertilized, it can grow, it can grow, it can grow. And it's not just a little seed anymore. It's actually producing more seed. So more can grow, more plants, more herbs can grow. You see, that's the way it is with the Lord. He wants you and I to grow, and it's not just about numbers. It's not about physical numbers. Of course, He wants to see everybody saved that will accept Him. Of course, if you want to look at it that way, the physical aspect of it, absolutely. But I'm talking about the spiritual aspect of it too. He wants us to grow, to take an interest in Him and in His kingdom and what He has for us, and that we not forget that or be neglectful of it, but that we focus on Him and we always look at that. But when it is grown, some things change here. When it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Have that little vulnerable seed been taken care of. It's been sown. The farmer takes care of it and watches it grow. And it can grow into be the biggest. You think about the nation of Israel, how that was the smallest inception. And then how big, more than the sand of the sea, stars of the sky is what changes here. But in and of itself, it's small. It's the smallest. But what changes the seed's outcome? You look at it here, a couple of things I look at. When it was sown, it has to be sown first. If it's just sitting in the packet and it's not exposed to what it's supposed to be exposed to grow, it's not going to grow. Our Bible don't need to sit in the packet throughout the week. We need to be exposed to it so we can grow. It's not something that we leave in the car so we don't forget it and make sure we have it for when we come to church. It's something that we carry with us always, always. Have it with you, you can study, you can look through it, and you can talk to it when it was sown. That's a big part of it there. But when it is sown, also that means to be spread, to be buried, fertilized, and watered, and taken care of. That's what we're supposed to do with the Word of God, with that seed. You take it out and you talk to people. You sow it. Some water, some fertilize. It's not just of one. It's a part that we all take into it. But when it is sown, things start to change. And also, it talks about this here, and when it is grown, that means when it's having to arrive at the full size or stature, when it's up to where it's supposed to be, grown. A Christian that accepts Christ and is faithful to the Word of God, faithful to the house of God, studies, come to church, you know what you're supposed to do? Grow. Grow. We're all supposed to grow. It's not one of those things that you just place a seed in the ground and you have that one minute seed and you get one minute seed back. That's not what it's supposed to be. You see in another place in the Bible it says, occupy till I come. Work until I come. Grow, work, move. See a lot of action. See a lot of action taking place. And when it is grown, you know, the Lord expects us to grow. He expects the church to grow. You know, if you read it like that, you get down to that point, it's like, man, this is great. You have the mustard seed. Now it's the biggest herb. It's actually referred to here as a tree. It's the biggest herb. And now it's grown. It's full grown. And happy ending. End of the story, right? We've arrived. And is that what it says? You see, that's what you think a lot of times. Because when you read it, you get past the part that says mustard seed. And you think faith. This story's about faith. That's all it's about. Well, most everything in the Bible is about faith. But there's usually a little bit more to it than just faith. Faith is kind of the inception of everything. When you put the seed in the ground by faith, you hope it to grow, right? But see, there's more to it than just that. You see this growing that takes place. And I'm studying about this and looking over it a little bit about these birds. The birds of the air, they come and they lodge in the branches of this tree now. Started out as a little seed, but now you've got birds. I thought, man, that's kind of neat. But what does those birds represent? What does that mean? What does it mean? It's big enough now that a bird can sit in it, okay. You can take it there and you can leave it there. But if you look back at the first part of Matthew 13, when you see another part of the parable that the Lord was talking about, he gives us a little bit more about birds. Birds are scavengers in the Bible, even Noah's Ark. When he sent them out there, it was to look to see if they'd find anything, if they'd return, or if they would leave and not come back. Scavengers brought things back. That's how birds live. But I thought this is interesting here, even at the first part of this chapter, verse number 3, and it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Love this parable in the Bible. You can see every single one of us in here, by the way. You'll find yourself in one of these verses here tonight. You will. That's between us and the Lord. But you'll find yourself in one of these verses. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The birds came and they ate up the seed. Man, when you think about birds and seeds, what do birds do with seeds? They eat them up. Or sometimes they come to our house. We used to really try to feed a whole big bunch of them, have a bunch coming in. They'll pick through it. I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I don't like that. And they throw a lot out. And then all that falls on the ground, and that starts growing up, and you have to take care of that. And the more that's on the ground, then you've got mice that might start showing up. And the more mice you have showing up, then you usually have a black snake or two that show. You see, it kind of compounds the problem. It can get out of hand really quick. And I thought that was interesting about how that is and about how that reads. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, and they had not much earth. Not going to grow much on a stony place. A seed, especially a little mustard seed, probably wouldn't have much of a chance on a rock to really grow. Not a way to absorb in nutrients or hold in things and hold in moisture, water, fertilize. It's just not. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. They grew up real quick and then that was it. There was not any deepness to it. You see, that's what takes place when you show up at church and you pray and you study and you pray and you study. You start getting some deepness to it. When the sun was up and were scorched, some were burned up by the sun because they had no root and they withered away. You see that a lot. People say, I've heard this, I've heard that, I've heard this, I've heard that, but they don't really believe anything.
They don't believe much of anything. And then you have some here, verse 7, and some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. The bad ate up the good, took all the nutrients. If you're not careful, those negative things, negative people, things in your life will spring up and take away the good. But I like verse number 8. It says, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. There was fruit there that they could grow from. You had the fruit. You had the bounty of what it was all about just because you had some fertile land to grow on, some fertile ground to grow on. May our hearts be a fertile place to grow on. So when you see about these birds here, that's what I was thinking they were doing. They knew that the seed was there before. Those seeds that fell upon the ground that was easy picking, they took it up before it even had a chance to grow. Happens a lot. Negativity. You know, you think about somebody that's wanting, maybe has questions about the Bible, questions about God, and maybe trying to reach out to somebody who says they're a Christian, and if they're not careful, if that Christian is too wound up in something else and doesn't give them the right description of what the gospel is, they can get choked up pretty quick. Really can. Yes, one thing I have to say, I've been really tried to be careful. I have to be honest. When I first got into like running for the school board and local government, things like that, I still obviously believe it's extremely important. I'm not making light of it at all. And sometimes silence isn't because a person doesn't have something to say. Sometimes you get wiser and you know that sometimes you're better off not to just start running off at the mouth. You know, over the last few years, it'd be easy to want to say things and latch out at things, at people and argue and fight over politics and over things like that. But you know how futile politics are in the kingdom of heaven? God's not worried about that. He's the king. He's on his throne. You know what concerns me? I'll just be honest with you. I could argue points, and I have. I've got on Facebook before and acted the fool. I ashamedly say that, and I'm sorry that I did that, but if you really want to talk to somebody, you can talk to them one-on-one if you want to win them. If you want to argue with them, you can argue with anybody you want to. It doesn't take anything. But you know what concerns me is the most important thing is not trying to argue a point, but to point people to Christ. Most important thing. If I never ran again, if it never went my way again, the most important thing is that we point people to Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. That's the goal, is it not? Don't get quiet on me now. Hey, man, I'm telling you the truth. That's the most important thing. If we believe God is who He is and He is as powerful as the Bible says that He is, and He has us, that's the most important thing. You see these birds here. If you're not careful, these birds will come in and they'll hang out in the branches and they'll sit there. They're looking for the fruit. They know where the fruit's at. They're sitting there. So all these seeds, you know, yeah, that was great when you had these easy picking seeds, but now I'm in the safety of these branches, and guess what? Every now and then those little buds just come right out, and all I have to do is pick it up and take it. All I got to do is take it. Just sit here and wait for it. If you see the typology here, for using this as a typology of the church, you think about those things that can come in and steal away your joy. I have four things I just want to mention to you. Lord gave this to me. I was thinking about it. I was praying, Lord, there are so many things that you could put in here. And we don't have all night. Not going to use all night. But Lord, what do you want me to put here about these birds? Think about these birds and the branches. Number one, I think it's comfortableness. We've gotten very comfortable. We have. You know, I look at it this way, and I'll try to explain it as quickly and as efficiently as I can. I think about comfortableness. If I'm doing something, if it's work or something like that, I try to get it done quickly so I can go back to being comfortable. If I'm doing something that I don't like to do, I want to do it quickly so I can go back to being comfortable. So you try to do it right. I'm not saying you slide it, but if it's not an enjoyable job, you don't want to take all day doing it. You kind of want to get it done and get it over with, right? I mean, you don't want to mess around with it all day if it's not fun. But comfortableness. So if you're not careful, you'll get yourself in the habit. I've thought about this of myself. You'll get yourself in the habit of trying to get everything done real quick so you can go back to being comfortable. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, that's what happens to our lives in church. We are happy being comfortable. Kind of got things where we want it to be. It's easy to be comfortable. We
stay in that comfortableness. We stay in a comfort zone, and I went and done that. Now I can go back to being comfortable. You know, sharing the gospel, working for the Lord, is oftentimes not very comfortable. You kind of have to put yourself out there if you believe it. If you believe it enough, you kind of have to put yourself out there. And if you're faithful enough, you got to stand on what you said. Stay in the Word of God, but you stand on what you said. It takes a little bit to do that. If you're not careful, we'll get robbed by just trying to be comfortable. You do just enough and stay comfortable. That's not a good place to be. I'll say it like this. I don't know how many times that the Lord has dealt with me in an atmosphere of being comfortable. Most of the time when the Lord was dealing with me was the most uncomfortable times of my life, and I had to move. And I think sometimes the more comfortable we get and the more we have to get uncomfortable to move, the harder things get, and it doesn't have to be that way sometimes. I think we just listen to Him and move when He says to move. Some things would be a lot better, be a lot easier on our life. We'd be more obedient to Him. But comfortableness, I think about the bird and the branch of comfortableness, and I think about satisfied. Just being satisfied. I look at it like that. I think about it this way. Thank the Lord. I know I'm saved. Believe with all my heart. Brandy, the profession she's made, she's saved. Believe with all my heart. Josh, Sarah, believe they're saved. I believe that. You know, that gives me some satisfaction. That gives me some comfort. But you know, if I just rely on that and not the other lost people in our church, I couldn't be satisfied. You couldn't be satisfied. You think, well, you know, everybody that I know, as far as I know in my family, as far as I know, they're saved. What about all the other lost people? See, there's the little bird of being satisfied. Well, I'm in a good place. I'm comfortable and I'm satisfied. You know, that's two dangerous places to be. When I was working in insurance, had a fella tell me one time, and he tried to use the Bible. He said, you know, the Bible says that, you know, Paul found himself in all places at all times that he found himself to be content. He said, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to be like that. That's not what it's talking about. When Paul was saying that things were hard in his life, the hard things that he was facing, he was content with that because he knew why he was doing it. He's not saying, let's just be content with nothing. Let's be content with just coming in and kind of going out and being comfortable and satisfied. That's not what he's talking about. Are we satisfied with what we're doing for the lost people? Are we satisfied? Think about those people. You think, I remember this. I remember times when people were heartbroken over lost people. They stayed up here way more than they stayed back there. There was action. There's action taking place. I'm not just trying to get you to move. I'm just telling you. It's what the Word of God says. There's some things here that we need to look at and think about. And this right here, number one, comfortableness. Number two, just being satisfied. Number three, loss of interest. There's a lot of that. A lot of that going on. I think sometimes people are more just into. I've had some people I know, you could preach your heart out, and you know what they'd say after the service? Boy, I love that singing. Well, thank you, that was good. What about the preaching? I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying in general, what about the preaching of the Word of God? The excitement about being around the Word of God. Do you still have that same excitement? Are you comfortable? Are you satisfied? Have you just kind of lost interest? I've heard that before. I'm not telling you anything new. Here's the thing about it. No matter how long we live, I can't change what's in here, and I'm not going to try to. I'm just going to tell it to you over and over and over and over again until He comes back or until He takes us home. But have you lost interest? What would it take for you to be interested again? What would it take for you to have that interest? You think about that little bird just waiting to take these things away. Fourth thing I placed here, you could put a whole lot more, but the loss of a burden. The loss of having a burden. I think about that. I remember many times people just heartbroken, tore up about things. And it's like they never really got over it until that person got right or until that thing got fixed. I think there was a much more humble time in our lives, a much more, I don't even have the words to put into it. But just a different time of life where people maybe weren't too shy to go to the altar, too shy to cry out to God, too shy to worship God. The more I study God's word, the more confidence I have in God's word, the more I want to praise him, the more the burden I have, and the more interest I have. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to gain. I want to grow. But I'm going to stop there tonight. I guess you could go on and on and on, but I just think about that. You just meditate on this week, the rest of the week. Think about this. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed. You start off with that one little mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field. After he sowed it, he says here, it says, which is indeed the least of all seeds, the smallest. But something took place after it was sown, and after it was grown, and after it was taken care of. But when it is grown, it became the greatest among herbs. It became the biggest one, the biggest herb in the field. So much so that it became a tree, and so that the birds of the air came, they lodged in the branches thereof. Think about that and study on that the rest of the week. But I'm going to stop.